between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfeld is alongside Manny the Controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Jam-packed show on tap for you today. I'm going to run it down for you in just a second and tell you what all we're going to be talking about and who we're going to be talking to. But first, I need to let you know, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more at alabamacu.com. Their website will tell you a lot, really everything you need to know about this incredible financial institution. That's alabamacu.com, or you can stop by and see them at one of their many locations around the state of Alabama, 38 of them, in fact, including the main office right here in Tuscaloosa, also one location in Northwest Florida. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today at 9:30, it's the Rocket Man, Drudy Armin, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. And then at 10 o'clock, it's Matt Travis, formerly a sports director in Lake Charles, Louisiana, also worked here at WVUA 23, University of Alabama graduate, and now is the host of the M3 Show podcast with Josh McMillan and Mac Herford, a couple of former Alabama football players. And he's going to join us to talk some ball about a lot of different topics going on. And we've had Matt and featured him before. He's an excellent sportscaster and has a good vibe for professional sports as well. And we'll visit with Drudy Armin at 9:30 and Matt Travis at 10. I might have said 10:30. I originally had him scheduled for 10:30, moved him up to 10, but he'll be with us this morning as well. Also, press conference day yesterday for the University of Alabama, head of LSU, coordinators Ryan Grubb and Kane Womack, and head coach Kalen DeBoer all met with the media. We'll try to get to some of that if we have an opportunity this morning as well. News and notes, of course, Alabama men's and women's basketball opening the season on Monday with a doubleheader and Monday afternoon game for the Alabama women and a Monday evening game for the Alabama men. The Alabama women, they had their hands full with Stetson last night. Stetson, or I should say yesterday afternoon, was in that game the whole way, but Alabama, give them credit, in the fourth quarter, they pulled away a little bit. They were up 77-73, and Carly Weathers with a dagger. She hit a three late in the game to put Alabama up by seven, pretty much clinched the victory, and then they added another basket there right before the buzzer and won 82-73. So a solid win and a good game against a pretty good Stetson team. Then last night, the Alabama men, less trouble with North Dakota, 91-62. Alabama, though, the news here is that Alabama had four guys not dressed for this game. I was thinking yesterday afternoon, Chase, does Alabama men's basketball, and listen, one of the best programs in the country, and they've got a lot of depth, and they play a lot of people. So, you know, I guess it's a situation where, you know, you can overcome some stuff, but do they ever have a healthy roster? I mean, seriously, dude, do they ever have a healthy roster at any point in the season? I mean, I'm trying to think back. If you guys and ladies out there listening can correct me, but it seems like there's always somebody out for Alabama men's basketball. And we knew that they were going to be without. And guess what caught us off guard so much yesterday was that we knew they were without Jahlil Bethea, the transfer from Miami, who's going to be out for a while. But we didn't have any other inkling that anybody else was out. Well, I had heard possibility that Holloway would be out yesterday morning. Somebody texted me with a wrist. But Latrell Reitzel, Aiden Holloway, and Keaton Bristow didn't dress, along with Bethea. Four players. And You know, Friday when Coach Oates had his press conference, he talked like everybody would be available other than Bethea. So, anyway, they played St. John's, number five team in the country, on Saturday at Madison Square Garden. So, they'll need as many guys as they can get back. Hopefully, you know, those guys will be back other than Bethea. But it's just, I know they work hard and you know, it, and they play a up-and-down style of basketball and they get after it. But it just seems like they're very rarely do they have a roster situation where everybody's dressing and everybody's healthy. So, anyway, but hopefully that didn't affect them last night. Auburn, meanwhile, boy, 95-90 over Bethune-Cookman in overtime in Stephen Pearl's debut. Can you imagine if they had lost that game at Neville Arena with after what's happened with their football program? I mean, they would be, whew, but they won it in OT. Here's the interesting thing, 95-90. You know, you look at the stats, it was not a fluke. I mean, it really was not a fluke. Bethune-Cookman rebounded with them, 32-31. They had Bethune-Cookman had a one rebound deficit, 8-7 on the offensive glass, 24-24 defensive rebounds, 17 assists for Bethune-Cookman, 14 for Auburn. There's one area that decided the basketball game. Bethune-Cookman outshot them from 12 of 22 to 6 of 23. But it was free throws. It was absolutely free throws. Auburn shot 38. Bethune-Cookman shot 9. Bethune-Cookman 8 of 9. Auburn 27 of 38. In fact, it was they had 4 free throws attempted. Bethune-Cookman did. Down by 3. They attempted 4 free throws for the entire game. I think Auburn had attempted 34. And the kid from Bethune-Cookman threw up a half-court desperation. He even got fouled. And I didn't see it, but Barry Sanderson told me that the kid for Auburn just, you know, ran into him, had to call it. And they hit all 3 free throws. So had they not gotten fouled at the buzzer, Bethune-Cookman would have finished with 4 free throw attempts in the game. Now, I know they shoot a lot of jump shots and all that, but like I said, it wasn't like they were getting beat up on the boards or anything like that. So all the Auburn football fans that have complained about officiating, well, maybe last night you got officiating on your side when you play a game and you shoot 38 free throws and the other team shoots 9 and you win by 5 in overtime. You probably shouldn't be complaining about officials in that game, that's for sure. But Auburn pulled it out, but that was you know, major matchup as Florida, the defending national champion, and number 3, played Arizona out in Las Vegas, and Arizona got the win, 93-87. A lot of high caliber basketball in that game. So, you know, Arizona's got an unbelievable recruiting class, and they get a win over Florida last night. Also, Alabama football, as we said, preparing for the game Saturday night against LSU. We also have a kickoff time for the Oklahoma game a week from Saturday. That'll be a 2:30 kick on ABC for the Crimson Tide and the Sooners. So we're off and running here on the Gary Harris Show. It's 15 minutes after the hour of 9. Drew DeArmy coming up at 9:30. Phone calls are welcome on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. Cowboy, you hold tight. We're going to lead off the next segment with you and anybody else that wants to give us a call. We're ready to rock and roll this morning on the Gary Harris Show. Got a good show on tap for you, and we'll be right back after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. As of today, the 35 days of the federal government shutdown now equals the longest government shutdown that occurred during the first Trump administration. Alabama Republican U.S. Senator Katie Britt told NBC News the shutdown could be resolved by Democrats if they would just come back to the table and discuss health care benefits. Meanwhile, President Trump says he's not sure when court-ordered SNAP benefits will resume at half their original amount. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend to reminisce on college days or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch meeting.
At Decades, it's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to the Gary Harris Show. Of course, Friday, I'll be at Industry Hours Pub. Friday's at the Free. We'll have our Bama football trivia contest. We'll be giving away the shutout, the print, full color size print by artist Greg Gamble, celebrating Alabama's national championship victory over LSU, 21-0 at the Superdome following the 2011 season. On Thursday, I want to make this announcement. Chase, I'm going to be live at Decades Pub and Grub downtown at Timberson Square. Much like my live remotes with Innisfree, Decades opens at 11, but we're going to be in there early, and Cliff is going to put together a little breakfast, I don't know if he can have a buffet, but he's going to have a few items for people that want to come by. Should be plenty of parking. Brick and Spoon will be open, but not that Brick and Spoon, and you know, probably the only place open, so there'll be plenty of parking to come on by Decades. That's Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Stop in on us. We'll have a good time over there at Decades Pub and Grub, and man, I tell you what, that is a really neat place, so if you haven't seen it, it's a chance to come by early on Thursday and check it out. I'm telling you what, you're gonna absolutely love it. I mean, it is a really, really neat place. So I'll be live at Decades Pub and Grub on Thursday, and then, of course, at Innisfree on Friday. Let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline. The Cowboy's going to lead us off. Hey, Cowboy.
How you doing, Gary? There's something I kind of want to discuss here with
you. You got plenty of time. Go ahead.
I was listening yesterday to John Cohen, and he said something that is kind of blatantly kind of bizarre. He said that there's a myth of other schools in the state of Alabama that the athletic director or whoever is being run by other people at Auburn outside the athletic department on football coaching hires and that kind of stuff. You know, John is from Tuscaloosa, and he was at Mississippi State. I think what he's trying to get ahead of the narrative, but Auburn, since Tommy Tuberville, they've hired Gene Chizik. That was 4 years. Auburn's hiring football coaches is kind of a lot like Jerry Jones out here with the Dallas Cowboys. They're performing a high wire act, and it's hard to stay balanced in what they're doing. Chizik was 4 years. Gus Malzahn was kind of equivalent to what Jason Garrett was with the Cowboys, kind of one good season, then kind of up and down, up and down. That finally wore itself out after the 2020 season. Then Brian Harsin was definitely a high wire act that fell off the wire. And Hugh Freeze was another high wire act hire that balanced and fell off because Hugh Freeze had beaten Alabama. And I just wanted to see if you had any thoughts for your listening audience on kind of that bizarre statement by John Cohen referring to other schools in the state of Alabama, but I know who he's talking about. He's talking about the University of Alabama. So, you know, they need to kind of get their high wire act together.
But all right, let me make sure I'm clear on what you're saying he said, because I didn't hear it. He said basically there's a perception at other schools that the AD at Auburn doesn't hire the coach. Is that what he's trying to say?
Yeah, a myth out there because the guy asked the question.
So he's basically saying Alabama tries to put that out is what you're saying he's actually saying. Is it out? The University of Alabama tries to push that narrative that the AD at Auburn doesn't hire the coach. Yeah, it is odd
other
to say.
Schools in the state.
It is an odd statement. If you're in charge and you know you're in charge, why do you really have to tell anybody that you're in charge and you're going to be handling the hire? I guess maybe he's making reference to the fact that everybody knows that this last hire for Alabama that Greg Byrne made it all by himself. There was no search committee. There was no help me out here, Cowboy. They hired those firms.
There's no firm. You know, John Cohen said yesterday, you know, we don't think we're going to use an executive search firm. You know,
yeah, search firm. There's no search firm or anything used. And you know, Byrne just did it on his own. And maybe he wants to make sure that people understand he's going to be making the hire on his own. I don't know, again, why he felt like he needed to say that. But they're in a precarious position here. As you pointed out, Right now, that program, if they don't win a couple games here down the stretch, they're going to have their fifth losing season in a row. That's a real possibility, you know, and with what they've got left on their schedule, that's embarrassing. If you're, you know, if you're a high caliber SEC program, if you do have five consecutive losing seasons, I mean, let that sink in again for a minute. That's hard to do. It's hard to lose five, have losing records in five straight football seasons in the SEC for any program because of the non-conference games that you play. And, you know, so if they don't, let's see, what are they, 4-5 right now? Or
4-5. You know, most people, pundits, would say they're going to finish 5-7. Give them the Mercer win. But, you know, Doug Barfield never reached these lows.
No, I mean, I don't think – I mean, you could probably go back –
good football.
Yeah, you could probably go back through their history and find – they're probably not another period where they've had four straight losing seasons. And, unless they win, beat either Vanderbilt or Alabama, which I guess they could do. But, you know, outside of that, if they beat Mercer, you're right. They're going to be 5-7. They're going to have five consecutive losing seasons. So they're reeling down there, you know. And listen, when they hire a new coach – fan basis, you know how, you know what the song and dance will be. This is the thing about when you're in a carousel, you know, as far as coach hirings go, and Alabama was in one in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, is you have, except in Franchione's case, he left off a 10-win season, kind of like Curry did, but
yeah.
If you're firing coaches, you know, when you fire a coach, that means your program's not good, right? All right, so Auburn has fired three coaches in a row, but four coaches in a row, five coaches in a row.
Tuberville, Chizik.
It's five. Yeah, it's Tuberville,
Chizik, Malzahn. Bowden. Bowden, Malzahn, Tuberville, Chizik, Parson, and Freeze.
And Dye. They haven't had a coach. They haven't had a coach quit on his own since Sue Jordan. Every other coach they fired. They fired Dye, they fired Bowden, they fired Tuberville. Yeah, they fired every coach they've had since Shrew Jordan. That's interesting. But anyway, my point is this: when you fire a coach, it means your program's in bad shape and the fans are up. But as soon as you hire the new coach, here everybody comes. And this is regardless, this isn't Auburn, this is any fan base. Because everybody wants to believe they got the guy. So you revitalize your program. Oh, we're coming now. Look out, everybody else in the SEC. But you know, the truth of the matter is most of these coach hires are gonna be failures again. And that's what's so scary about all these programs that are changing coaches. Four in the SEC, I think there's 12 now around the country, is all these programs aren't going to get that coach. Some of these programs are going to be doing this again in 3 or 4 years. And it's hard to find a coach that can win at the level that these programs want to win at. It's just hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, John Cohen, that statement he said, he knows in his heart that there is Booster Medlin out there. He's trying to, you know, protect his job, because my father grew up in East Alabama, and he told me, you know, in the Shug Jordan days and before that, the Auburn booster deal has always been meddlesome. And you know, Shug kind of retired because Dr. Philpott couldn't give him the athletic director job. You know, they had another guy. Jeff Beard was, the athletic director, or Joel Eads. No, he was at Georgia, I think, but you know, I'm getting back in dates, but they've always had a meddlesome deal. And from what I gather, you know, they interviewed Kirby Smart after Chizik, and you know, he told them he wanted total control. They wouldn't do it. You know, you heard Kirby after the Auburn Georgia game this year talking about how him and his son went down to slap out, and all his family went to Auburn. He grew up going to Auburn. It'd be scary what they'd be if they'd have hired Kirby and said, here's the key, you run it, buddy. But they can't do it. And Cohen knows that. That's why he said that bizarre statement, I think.
But, well, you know what? Here's where they're at. You know, let's say that they lose to Vanderbilt and they lose to Alabama and they go 5-7. Whether it's DJ Durkin or somebody from the outside, once they hire a coach, they'll have a press conference. Their fans will be running around out on social media. But that'll be the case for Florida. That'll be the case for LSU. That'll be the case for Arkansas. There's not anybody that's going to hire a coach that their fans aren't going to rally around the new coach. That's just the way you do it. So we'll see. Yeah. But I do say this. It's hard for me to believe that a program that has the resources that Auburn has is in this situation. I mean, it really is. I mean, that they are on the cusp of a fifth straight losing season. Hugh Freeze, who I think most Auburn fans thought when they hired him that he was going to be the guy. You know, he was going to be the guy that was going to take them back, and now they're having to, you know, understand that that didn't happen. And in fact, it's probably the program's probably now they'll keep talking about their roster. And I guess their roster is better from an athlete standpoint, but result wise, they're no better off. In fact, they're probably in worse shape than they were with Harsin. I think Harsin's teams were more competitive than some of these teams that Freeze has had. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this question. If DJ Durkin goes 3-0, how do you not hire him?
Well, they probably will. I mean, if he goes 3-0, they'll probably hire him. I mean, you know, I mean, heck, if he can go 3-0, I might hire the guy. I mean, if he can beat Vanderbilt and be in Alabama, then, you probably will hire him.
Yeah. we're just talking.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I don't think that's likely, but, it, you know, I guess it could happen. So, yeah, I'm sure if they were to win out here and go 3-0 and get a winning season and go to a bowl, I'm sure they'd be giddy about DJ Turkin. Hey, we got to hit the break, Cowboy. Appreciate it, man. It's 9:31 here on the Gary Harris Show. We'll come back with Drudy Armin next on Tide 100.
Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Just taking care of a couple things, and it's time for the Rocket Man, Drudy Armin, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. How's it going, Drew?
I'm doing well, Gary. How are you?
Doing well. I want to begin with hoops. Bama opening up last night, 91-62. Solid win for Alabama in that game against North Dakota. Never really was in doubt. I thought a couple times they might have a chance to go ahead and run away. It was a 36.5-point spread in the game, and They did not cover the spread, which doesn't matter to you and I, but it does to some people. But I guess the news for me was the fact that we knew Bethea was going to be out, and then I heard yesterday that Holloway might sit out with a wrist injury. But we have, you know, first game of the season, you got four guys in street clothes. And, you know, it's just odd to me that, you know, but hopefully, you know, they're going to have, other than Bethea, have all hands on deck Saturday against number 5 St. John's, because they're going to need everybody up there at Madison Square Garden. But first, your takeaways and thoughts on the game last night. Obviously, Phylon was a big time player last night. We expect that all season long.
Yeah, LeBaron's just, he looks like the game slowed down for him. You know, his shot mechanics look a lot, you know, less rushed and smoother than they did a year ago. As he put it last night, he just thinks it's a confidence thing. But in both exhibitions, and then of course in this last night, I just thought he shot it really well. I thought he made great decisions. They couldn't stay in front of him. I mean, he got to the rim at will when he was in there. He ended up with 22 and 8. I really like the two freshmen, really three of them, actually. You know, Amari Allen, he won the hard hat. He had 12, 7, and 5. And you can tell he's multi-skilled at close to 6'8". And then London Jemison, he played really hard as well. Did a nice job on the offensive glass. He didn't shoot it particularly well last night, but I think he will as the season goes on. So excited about those two guys. But the one that intrigues me the most is Davion Hanna. And we know what Coach Oates said about him in the preseason, comparing him to Herb Jones. And, of course, so much of Herb was not just that he was a great player and one of the best defenders in Alabama history, but he had so many intangible things, such a smart kid, such a great kid, high basketball IQ, and a great athlete. Now, Davion Hanna, I think his offensive game is further ahead of Herb at the same stage. His shot mechanics are, you know, when I saw Davion in high school, I wasn't sure about his outside shot, but I think it's going to be solid. He's going to continue to get better. He's a pogo stick. He's an absolutely great athlete, probably a little bit better athlete than Herb, but Herb was a little bit longer, taller, but some of the same intangible things. He seems to really want to defend and get after people. And that dunk on the baseline, I'll just say this, watching Davion in the two exhibitions and then last night, he is not afraid to go to the basket hard.
That's right.
I think he's got a lot of potential. I like those three freshmen. Onye Juwaka got a little bit of time, got a dunk late, but those three I'm really excited about, along with LeBaron. And then, of course, I thought another guy that impressed me, because I wasn't sure about him when I saw him this summer, because he had just gotten to Alabama. I mean, we know he was the Patriot League Player of the Year at Bucknell, but I was just afraid because of the pace, and he was really struggling with it. And
me too.
Noah Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed the FSU game with a knee, but just hearing Nate Oates talk about him when he played against Furman and his ability to set good screens, he's more mobile than you think. He didn't hit a three last night, but the three he took, I liked his shot mechanic. Nate Oates just talked about his ability to do that. And then I thought he did a nice job on the glass and also with rim protection. And the one thing Nate Oates had talked about, and I could see it last night, outstanding passer. And I think he didn't do a lot. His stat line didn't jump out at you, but I just felt like he did a lot of little things to help you win. And I think he'll be a really good compliment to Aiden Sherrell, who had 9 and really, you know, he had a couple of turnovers. Aiden was close to having about a 15-point night, and I think he's got a chance to be a really good player in the post for Alabama. So I thought overall it was a good performance. You know, only 8 of 27 from 3. Probably needed to get to the free throw line a little more. But all in all, a 91-point performance and, you know, a 29-point victory. And certainly I think a pretty good first chapter, especially as you already mentioned, you didn't have Reitzel because of the re-aggravation of the finger injury. You didn't have Biz, a.k.a. Aiden Holloway, because of his wrist. And, you know, and then, of course, we already knew Bethea. Hopefully he'll be back by the SEC. And then Bristow, or Bristow, excuse me. Bristow is going to be a big part of this team. It wouldn't have surprised me if he had started over Taylor Bull Bowen, and he'll be a big part of it with his energy. He's going to be kind of the Muhammad Diop body of this team, and he sprained an ankle, so not having him was big. They definitely need Reitzel and Bristow, no question, and really just for depth, they need all three of those guys and Aiden for what they've got coming up with this four-game stretch, starting with St. John's and the Garden early on Saturday, mm-hmm. and then not to mention maybe the best team in the country coming next Thursday in Purdue.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But that's what that's what Nate Oates wants. That's what elite programs do. But you mentioned it, Drew. You got number 5 St. John's in the Garden. They'll fly to New York City on Friday, play that game on Saturday morning. Then at home, the 13th against number 1 Purdue, then number 17 Illinois, then number 21 Gonzaga. Oh, by the way, after that, they're not ranked, but quality programs in UNLV and Clemson. So, and still have games against Arizona. A game against Arizona, beat Florida last night. So, yeah, this schedule, you'll know what you got going into SEC play, that's for sure. But overall, it sounds like you liked what you saw. As you said, I think it's critical they get these guys back. Because this team has a lot of potential, but it's with this schedule. Let's be honest, Drew. There's going to be some. I think there's going to be some bumps in the road. I mean, new roster like this. Don't you figure? Do you agree with me that there's going to be some? It's going to be a few losses, I think, before you get into conference play. I can't see how you could go through this juggernaut unscathed.
No, I'm not expecting to. And I'd like him to come out of it, with a winning slate.
Sure.
That would be, I think, a good starting point. Certainly, because they've got so many new pieces, and you're having to meld these guys from the portal into it as well. And again, like Nate Oates said last night, after this out-of-conference slate, you'll certainly know where you stand as far as, what your strengths and weaknesses are, and I think they can compete with all these teams they're playing, but certainly it's going to be fascinating to watch them play St. John's in the Garden because, like I told somebody last night, Rick Pitino is not going to take the foot off the gas. He's one of the best coaches of his generation and why he's done such a remarkable job at each and every program that he's taken over. Look, there's not going to be any mercy shown. He knows how good Alabama is and how they play, but his team's really good too. And it's going to be a heck of a test in the Garden against those guys, against St. John's. He's done a remarkable job already rebuilding that program. And then with Purdue and Matt Painter, these Alabama fans, they need to remember last year when they beat South Dakota State, Oscar Clough gave him a lot of problems, and he's now going to be the five man for Purdue. And he's going to be surrounded by Jackson Wren, the power forward, who was one of the best players in the Big Ten a year ago, not to mention arguably the best point guard in college basketball in Braden Smith. So that's going to be a huge – they're going to need a raucous crowd on that Thursday to come in and try to affect Purdue because they're really, really good. But you'll know where you stand, there's no doubt, and – I had somebody tweet at me. I think it was Corey from Trustville wanting to know if I thought they could go 10-2 in this pre-conference. If they go 10-2, just give Nate Oates coach of the year now, based on what Alabama has cut returning from last year and who they're playing. I think a more realistic thing, best case scenario, might be 8-4. If they could go 8-4 or 7-5. And then they have somebody named Kentucky in their first SEC
game. That's right.
In so their schedule, I will say this, but their KenPom is going to be off the charts. If there's anybody with a better KenPom than Alabama, I'll be surprised. But if they could win 7 or 8 of these pre-conference games, I think you'd have to feel really good about it.
Yeah, oh, by the way, you don't have a New Year's hangover because Kentucky and Alabama play Saturday, January 3rd at 11 a.m., 11 a.m. breakfast at Coleman Coliseum for the SEC opener. Hey, I want to ask you about Auburn because, listen, it's a transition. And just because He's on the staff with his dad for years. You know, Stephen Pearl's his own man. He's his own coach, and he's never been a head coach. And, boy, they dodged a – I mean, I'm just going to say it for what it is. Doesn't mean they wouldn't have bounced back from it and win or lose. You know, you play the next game. But that would have been an embarrassing loss last night to open up at home in the Stephen Pearl's first game and lose to Bethune-Cookman, and they could have. I mean, you know, Auburn people like to complain about officiating. Well, thank the officials last night for shooting 38 free throws to 9. And Bethune-Cookman only had 4 free throws until the guy got hit at half court at the end there to force the overtime. But Auburn dodged a bullet. But, boy, I mean, I'll be honest with you, Drew, I didn't see that coming. 95-90 over Bethune-Cookman. I know Reggie Theus, former NBA star, is the coach there. But what do you take away from – it's one game, but what do you take away from that?
Well, they're having to reset. They don't have a lot of size. You know, former Ramsey Bram and Mississippi State Bulldog Keyshawn Murphy's probably going to be their best big. Yep. He had 17 last night. He's a multi-skilled guy and, you know, has a chance to have a good year. He had a good year for Mississippi State last year. And Keyshawn Hall, probably their best transfer, had 28. He needed all of them from UCF. They'll need more out of Tahad Pettiford, but I think he's going to have a really good year. And certainly, you know, Reggie Theus and those guys played a lot of zone and I think confused Auburn. But they've got a lot of new pieces. And again, not the biggest team, not nearly as big as they were a year ago when you had that dynamic duo inside for Auburn, Joni Broome and Dylan Cardwell, who, you know, Cardwell, he's probably, I would think his Social Security check showed up yesterday. But, you know, he played forever for Auburn and got better every year. And so, you know, there's always an adjustment in year one. I can remember how rough Nate Oates' first year was, and that was with John Petty and Kyra Lewis. But, you know, it is what it is. You just have to keep – and Herb Jones. But you got to just, you know, keep playing and find a way to win. And, you know, Bethune does have an underrated NIL. They had a McDonald's All-American on their roster. You just mentioned it with Reggie Theus. He's a guy that played in the NBA and was, you know, a great player. And so Bethune's probably going to be on the short list of favorites in the SWAC. And when you have a first-year head coach who I'm sure there were some nerves, he's never coached a game as a head man. When it's so different when you slide over to the first seat. And so the bottom line is Auburn found a way to survive, and it's going to be interesting to see how much they improve going forward, because the SEC is going to be a meat grinder, no question about it.
All right, let's get to football, and everything's set up for Alabama very nicely, Drew. You and I would agree with that. I like the way, even though with the loss of Florida State, you know, you played those 3 games, you had your bye, you hit that 5-game SEC stretch, 4 against ranked opponents. You could clearly see they were a little bit fatigued against South Carolina, but they got through it, and now you're sitting here 7-1. 5-0 in the league. You're going to be probably number 4 in the college football playoff rankings that come out tonight. It's a 4-game stretch. 3 of those games at home, and then the Iron Bowl. I mean, everything's right there for this team. But as we know, Drew, watching college football in 2025, it's a lot like the NFL. What it looks like right now, it may look completely different in 2 or 3 weeks for a lot of teams, Alabama included. If you don't handle your business, you know, with LSU and Oklahoma, this season could go off the rails. I'm not saying that'll happen, but my point is that this LSU team, we don't know really what to expect. We know they're talented. Oklahoma's starting to Mateer's back. We know Venables has given Alabama trouble before, and then you got to go to Auburn for the Iron Bowl. So the drill is not completed yet, is it, by any means?
No, not at all. I mean, it's going to be, I think, a tough game Saturday. I have it a little more high scoring than the over-under. I know the over-under is under 50 because of Blake Baker's defense, and certainly LSU's offense has struggled. But, you know, we'll see how they look under Frank Wilson. And we know Garrett Nussmeier has been banged up. Certainly Alabama needs to get after Nussmeier. He's not the most mobile guy, so you need to pressure him, move him off his spot. You need to continue to force turnovers like Kane's group has done. Yonze Pierre needs to continue to gain confidence and emerge as the pass rusher. You need a lot out of LT Overton. This offensive line of LSU's is a work in progress. I know there's been complaints about Alabama's, but LSU's hasn't been great. The protection hasn't been great. They've been starting 2 true freshmen at the tackle spot. So if you're Alabama, the first thing you got to do is you got to put them in down and distant situations that are uncomfortable. You have to stop the run. You got to make them one-dimensional, and then I think LSU will struggle. They still have a good wide receiver and tight end room. There's no doubt about it. They're talented, and Aaron Anderson can certainly play. Alabama had him on their roster for a year, but you just have to get after LSU, and I think the formula is there for this Alabama team. They're not a dominant running team, but, you know, if they could hit that 140, 150 mark, and LSU's been giving up about that much. If they can hit that against LSU, then I think they're going to be tough to beat in Bryant Denny Stadium because, again, you've got Ty Simpson. If he protects the ball like he has all year, you know, that's kind of what happened. That's what got Tennessee, and trust me, nobody enjoyed it more than me, watching them have their playoff chances wrecked by Oklahoma. But look, when you look at the stat sheet, Tennessee had nearly 500 yards of offense, but what beat them was turnovers, and that's what Alabama can't do against LSU or Oklahoma. They can't turn the ball over. Don't let them stay in the game. If Ty Simpson, you know, can protect the ball, and the good thing is Alabama should be healthier, much healthier than they were when they went to South Carolina. You should have Lotsier Brooks hopefully back. You should have, you know, a healthier Ryan Williams. He's been a little banged up. You should get Horton back as well. So you should be, you should have a full allotment of receivers, Josh Cuevas. So Alabama's got a lot of weapons. And if they give, you know, if their offensive line plays better than they did against Carolina, and if they give Ty time, I truly believe that they can make plays against that LSU secondary.
All right, want to get your take on Auburn. For whatever reasons, it just never worked with Hugh Freeze, and offensively this year it's been a disaster. And I think you have to question his quarterback evaluations, number one, and certainly his ability to develop quarterbacks. I mean, I guess we know he's fired, or he's not the coach anymore. So that's. But I want to ask you: Are you surprised that this deep into his third year, that their quarterback situation, like against Kentucky the other night, was a disaster? I mean, how in the world he handpicked two quarterbacks out of the portal, including Jackson Arnold, who they paid a lot of money to, and 9 games into the season, this is what you get? I mean, I don't see how anybody could expect him to keep his job. I mean, I'm shocked a little bit, to be honest with you, Drew.
Well, I mean, he's not a very good talent evaluator at the QB spot. He's also not a quarterback whisperer, Gary, and his strength was always as a play caller, but when you don't change your offense for 13 years, people catch up to you. There's just no doubt about it. You know, Gus Malzahn is in kind of the same boat. I know he beat Alabama to start this season.
Yeah, but he can't beat anybody else.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, as you see more of his offense, it seems to get film on it and adjust, it's just been very tough. And so you have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to change. And I don't think Hugh Freeze ever did, and that's the problem. Certainly, Durkin's defense played exceptionally well and continues to. It's why they'll have a puncher's chance the rest of the season in every game they play. And don't get it twisted. If DJ Durkin wins out, he's the head coach. I mean, there's no question that if he beats a really good Vanderbilt team, beats a Mercer team that's 7-1, and then beats Alabama at home, the Auburn fan base and their administration will give him the head coaching job. Now, you know, if he doesn't beat Alabama, and then I don't think he'll get the job. But he'll be given every opportunity to do that because they're really impressed with him defensively and what he's been able to do on that side of the ball. And if it translates over to head coach and the offense, you know, wakes up all of a sudden. Now, do I think most of that staff would be retained by Durkin? Probably not. I would think he'd go get his own guys. But he's going to be given every opportunity, and it's going to be really fascinating to see. First of all, Vanderbilt, their playoff hopes are on life support right now. They're still alive, but they have to win. So we'll see what kind of desperation they play with in the newly renovated stadium over there in Nashville. How are they going to play against this Auburn team that they beat a year ago? And then, you know, what is Derek Nix going to look like as a play caller? Because that whole offensive staff was Hugh Freeze guys, And I just don't think you can reinvent the wheel. But it is going to be pretty damning if all of a sudden this offense looks much more, I guess, smooth, and there's a coherent plan if they play well on Saturday in Nashville.
All out of time, Drew. I mean, I took it right up to the Chase is like, you know, you go over with Drew every week. But you know what? It's because we enjoy the conversation. Drew, real quick word on where everybody can find you. I know you've been doing some stuff on Tider Insider lately as well.
Yeah, we wrote a basketball preview on TiderInsider.com. Always appreciate Rodney Orr. And then find my work there. You can find me on X at DrewD977ESPN. Also our station at 977ESPN. Also any of our content, 97.7 The Zone on SoundCloud or 977ESPN.com. We always appreciate it, Gary.
Thanks, Drew. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up hour number one. We're going to double up these breaks. Thanks to Chase for doing that. And when we come back on the other side, we'll be visiting with Matt Travis. And then after that, we'll be guest-free so we can get time for phone calls, get to some of this audio from Alabama press conferences. That's going to do it for the first hour brought to you by...
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
The Cardinals break a five-game losing streak, beating the Cowboys 27-17. Jacoby Brissett getting the start in place of Kyler Murray. Murray questionable until the inactive list came out, but dropped about an hour before kickoff and then was made inactive. Commanders linebacker Frankie Louvu suspended without pay for one game due to hip drop tackles. The Ravens have traded for Titans edge rusher Jermont Jones for a fifth-round pick that could become a fourth-rounder. College basketball tipped off. 13th-ranked Arizona beat third-ranked Florida 93-87. Kelvin Sampson won his 800th career game, this one with the University of Houston. They're the number two team in the nation. In the NBA, the Timberwolves beat the Nets 125-109. The Nets winless so far on the season.
Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HAPPY for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice warm-up today with a sunny sky, the high 72. For tonight, fair with the low at 44. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. A good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM, WTBC, Tide109.com, and download that Tide 109 app. Chase Brumfield alongside. We've got we're guest free after this segment, so we'll have time for more phone calls. Sorry that we didn't have time for as many phone calls in the first hour as we would like, but we'll have plenty of time going forward. Also, going to try to get a little bit of that press conference audio from Alabama yesterday if we can. But right now, we're jumping out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and welcoming in our next guest, Matthew Travis, formerly the sports director at KPLC in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Also worked with me at WVUA 23 and is a University of Alabama graduate, and now. Now he is hosting the M3 podcast with former Alabama football players Mac Herford and Josh McMillan. Good morning, Matt.
How's it going, Gary? I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, great to have you. And I tell you, boy, you guys spent a lot of time brainstorming over this this name. You got Matthew Travis, Mac Herford, and Josh McMillan. How long did it take you to come up with M3?
Well, we were thinking about a lot of names for a while there. We were tossing around Mick, Mac, and Matt, but I thought that was a mouthful, so we landed on M3, and it's been going pretty well. We have Shank, we have Alphonse coming on this week, so it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like it, M3. Like I said, you got three M's, so go with it. It's easy. Yeah, and because of those two guys, you got access to a lot of former Alabama football players. So give me a little, because I have not had a chance to listen to it yet. I will, because I like Mac Herford a lot, and I remember Josh McMillan when he played here. Kind of what do you guys, do you stick to football, or do you get on other topics? What's the M3 show like every week?
Yeah, we've stuck to football, and we've had a handful of great guests. We had Nick Kelly on earlier in the season. We've had Christian Miller, Slade Bolden, Donnie Lee last week, and then, like I said, Shank coming on today. So we preview games, obviously recap games, talk about their experience, a lot of fun stories with the good, bad, and ugly, with Saban doing film breakdowns and everything. So it's been cool for me getting to hear those stories and also staying in it a little bit with the journalism side of things. So I've really enjoyed it, and it's doing pretty well. So I'm excited to keep it going, and we'll see what it looks in the like in the off season. But excited to get through the first season and go from there.
Yeah, we're seeing this a lot. I want to ask you about your career path, because obviously I'm a product of local TV and radio 40 plus years now, you know. But I'm involved in a podcast too. You went the TV route, but like so many, there's so many options now that with non-traditional media. You're getting married. You moved to Arkansas. You've got a job, but yet you're able to stay involved in your passion, which is media and broadcasting through this podcast. So we're seeing a lot of, because you and I both know. Let's be honest, and I'm not trying to say this for the, people feel sorry for me, but I've been doing it a long time, but local TV is a grind. It is much more work than an hour podcast. And I'm not saying this disparately, because I like it too, but as you know, local TV, you're in high school football, you're on the air, you have, it's a lot harder than doing sideline media is what I call it. So you're kind of blending both worlds with a regular job and still getting to stay in the media. Just talk about the decision to take this career path.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. Local media, especially being a sports director at a local TV station, it's a grind. I was a sports director in Lake Charles, Louisiana at KPLC, the NBC station there for 3 years. Was really fortunate to get to cover Will Wade when he went to McNeese, get to cover a lot of cool stories there at McNeese. But the primary focus is high school football, high school sports. We covered 42 high schools there, and it takes a lot out of you. I was working 60-hour weeks consistently, and I did long distance with my now fiance for 3 years, and it takes a lot out of you. So I made a personal life decision to step out of it in that realm, but I'm staying in it, like you mentioned, with the podcast, and I'm doing other things and have some other things on the horizon to stay in it. And if that turns into something, then so be it. But personal life was a big decision for me, and that's why I made the move. But the M3 show, like you said, has been an opportunity for me to stay in it and still keep that side of my my skills and enjoyment alive.
Yeah, it's working out great for you. Alabama football, I know you're tracking it, obviously, with two former players and a lot of guests. This season has been interesting, because I think you and I even talked back during the summer, and I had everything I had heard coming out of the building, talking to people, was, listen, man, there's alignment, there's symmetry, everybody's on the same page. This is a talented roster. Ty Simpson's gonna do a great job. Look out for Alabama. And then you go to Tallahassee and just lay an absolute egg. And it's like, whoa, oh my Lord, what did we sign up for? But that was an anomaly. That was an outlier. Clearly, Gus Malzahn, with his competitive dislike for the University of Alabama and 6 months to prepare, he put together a game plan that he admitted would put together for anybody else. Which, imagine that, Gus Malzahn getting up for Alabama. But they're not the team that they appeared to be that Saturday, and neither is Alabama. We were right. Alabama has a chance to be a special football team. Ran into buzzsaw that opening Saturday, but to bounce back the way they have, win 7 in a row, be 5-0 in the SEC, coming off 5 straight weeks of games, including 4 against ranked opponents. Now it's all right there for the taking. This next 4-week stretch, a chance to do something special.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you told me one of those teams after the Florida State game would be 4-4 entering this week, the other would be 7-1, I probably would have told you Florida State would be the one that's 7-1 because of how Alabama looked. And we had all those concerns and questions about character and effort and all these things. And those questions obviously came up a little bit with the South Carolina game, which Alabama obviously pulled out. But it's been as bizarre of a season as I've ever seen, because that game in Tallahassee, Alabama did not look like Alabama, and those questions were warranted. Alabama had a lot of effort concerns, and in turn, we saw them beat four straight ranked opponents, and now we enter an LSU game where they don't have a head coach. So it's been a bizarre season to watch, and Alabama has as good a shot of anyone to lift a trophy come January. So it's been, like I said, just the most bizarre season I've ever seen. But Alabama really seems to be hitting their stride, obviously with a slight hiccup versus South Carolina. But now it's turning their focus to a team in LSU who, again, doesn't have a head coach. But look at what Florida just did against Georgia. They gave them all they could handle and almost beat Georgia despite having an interim head coach. So I think that's something you can't really read too much into, and you still have to treat LSU like the LSU that they were expected to be coming into the season and what everyone thought they were after beating Clemson in South Carolina.
When you look at the offense for Alabama, Ty Simpson, even though, like I said, I heard good things about him in spring, how he matured, how he's ready for the moment, still, we don't know, Matt. I mean, the guy never started a game. He was in his fourth year, but he never started a game. Now, he did come in against South Florida a couple years ago and kind of pull that game out for Alabama, but I would have never dreamed he would play to this level. Did you have any inkling that he'd be here? We'd be, you know, 8-9 weeks in the season. He might be the number one Heisman candidate that we have in college football right now.
You know, Gary, I had a lot of hope, but I wasn't sure. Coming into the season, I had a lot of faith, and really, and I said it on the show before the Florida State game when we were previewing, I had a lot of faith in every single position group. But the one question I had was Ty Simpson, because simply we hadn't seen it. And there was questions on who was going to be starting coming into the year, whether it be Ty, Austin, or Keelan. And obviously those questions were answered pretty early on, but Ty won it, and he's been, for my money, it's between him and Julian Sain and obviously Mendoza at Indiana for the best quarterbacks in the nation. He's been phenomenal. His pocket awareness really has been what I've been most impressed with, because he just has the ability to know when he has to get out of the pocket and also know when he has to use his legs, which we've seen him do from time to time. So to answer your question, I wasn't sure. I had a lot of faith in the defense, a lot of faith in the receiver core, and with Jam Miller once he came back, but Ty's been the steady rock when we needed him. Obviously, that Missouri game is the one that sticks out to me, those fourth down conversions and just being able to stay in it after a bad drive and lead Alabama to the win. But no, I don't think I saw this play coming from Ty when we were entering the season.
Matthew Travis with us talking some ball here on the show. When you look at the rest of the season for Alabama, three straight home games. Of course, one of them is Eastern Illinois, but LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, then at Auburn for the Iron Bowl. What do you think is the game that is the most likely that Alabama might trip up in?
Like, the easy answer is Oklahoma, but it's Auburn. I mean, you never know what's going to happen when Alabama goes to Jordan-Hare, because we saw it my senior year when we were down there on the plains for that game was when Bryce Young came back and led the drive to win it in overtime. And every time we're in Jordan-Hare, obviously, something happens. So that's the one that sticks out. But Oklahoma has also been playing really well. Had a really good win at Tennessee after a bad loss at Ole Miss, and obviously versus Texas with John Mateer still coming back. That's going to be a really good game, and it's not going to be an easy one. Obviously, a revenge factor for Alabama after losing in Norman last year. And those revenge games have gone well for Alabama this year, beating both Vanderbilt and obviously Tennessee, both those at home. So the hope would be this one's at home as well, and Alabama can continue that streak of playing up in revenge games. But that one at Jordan-Hare is the one that sticks out, because they just fired Hugh Freeze, obviously, and they have really nothing going for them. So if they have the chance to potentially ruin Alabama's season or at least upset the Alabama fan base, they're gonna come up for that game, and they're going to treat it like their Super Bowl, like a lot of Alabama opponents do. So that would definitely be the one. And like I said a minute ago, LSU, you can't take them lightly. Interim head coaches, for whatever reason, get teams to play up, especially in that first game. And we could see Saturday be a little closer than some might think.
Matthew, you follow the NFL and I do too. The SEC, not the SEC, college football in general. It's the NFL now. I mean, the parity, the portal, the NIL, it's a week-to-week league. And I said this earlier in the show, what it looks like right now in college football, it might look completely different 2 or 3 or 4 weeks from now. That's just the reality of it. You know, what you did the previous game might not carry over to the next game. I mean, it is a grind. We're talking about the grinding in sportscast. It's a grind in college football. So with that being said, you just have a hard time, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, at this point in the season, you could look at the 4 or 5 teams, Matthew, let's be honest, that had a chance to win a national championship. You pretty much could narrow it down to 4 or 5 teams. Now, 12-team playoff, we don't know who's getting the playoff. The first rankings come out tonight. I mean, I'm looking, thinking, you know, that team, there's 5, 10, 15, 18 teams that are capable of winning a national championship, depending on how this plays out the next few weeks. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Last year, we had a national championship with a two-loss Ohio State team and then also a Notre Dame team who lost at home to a MAC opponent. So we have no idea what can happen. Notre Dame has been playing well, and they're currently ranked 10th in the AP poll, so they could shoot up. And like you said, we know the obvious answers, the top four, the Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, and Alabama. They're going to be players, but a team like Texas Tech also stands out to me. That game this weekend with them and BYU should be a phenomenal game. Both have been playing well, but is a Big 12 a quality conference? So it'll be interesting these last couple weeks of the season to see how everything unravels, because if we were sitting talking in December last year and you told me Ohio State and Notre Dame, after Notre Dame lost at home to a MAC opponent and Ohio State just got embarrassed by Michigan again, that they would be playing for a national title, a lot of people probably wouldn't have believed us. So I think anyone's in play. The ACC, nobody knows what that looks like. Everyone's kind of counting them out. So there are a lot of teams at play. Oregon has been sleeping, and obviously they lost to Indiana. So like you said, there are a lot of teams that could challenge for a national title. And with the 12-team format, we just have no idea what it'll look like even a month from now. So it'll be very interesting tonight, and obviously very interesting over the next month.
All right, it's the M3 show, but I know you probably have kidded Mac about this. I mean, Josh McMillan, you know, played at Alabama. You went to Alabama. Mac went to Alabama, played at Alabama as an Alabama kid, but he actually finished up at Vanderbilt and played wide receiver for the Commodores. So are his loyalties split at all?
They are not split at all. And Gary, if you listen to the show, you will hear me edge him just a little bit every single episode about his time at Vanderbilt. And, I messed with him saying he was on the field carrying the goalpost down Broadway to the river last year. And this story has come up countless times. He was actually in North Carolina for a wedding. So, no, his allegiances are very clear. He is Alabama through and through, despite spending a year at Vanderbilt. And he had a lot of stuff going on while he was there with injuries and some family stuff that took away from him being able to play there. But, yeah, his allegiances are very clearly Alabama. He grew up in Alabama and the Birmingham area and obviously went to all the camps growing up and then wound up walking on and playing at Bama. So, no, it's very clear. And then obviously Josh and I are very clear with our allegiances to Alabama as well.
All right, great stuff. Fill everybody in on the podcast one more time where they can find it.
Yeah, the M3 show. It comes out every Wednesday. Again, we have Shank coming on. We're recording tonight for that episode coming out tomorrow. You can find us at Bama Podcast on both Instagram and X. So give us a follow. We'd love to gain you as a viewer and follow along as we talk about the season.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Gary. Talk to you soon.
All right, we're going to get to a break. Before we do, though, I am going to tell you about Game Day Men's Health, because that's something that if you're a man, you want to get in the game. You want to be healthy. Game Day Men's Health is located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. They offer convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, erectile dysfunction treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Listen, if you are suffering from fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain, those just aren't everyday annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals.
You can expect boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. If you're a man, these are things that impact every area of your life. It's a free consultation. They can get your blood work back in 15 minutes. So stop in to Game Day Men's Health and get on the road to better health and wellness today. All right, we'll be back with phone calls in the next segment. We're wide open, 205-342-9904. The Gary Harris Show will continue on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
Now, this hour's West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here at the Tuscaloosa Thread, headlines, North Fork's new mayor, Dale Phillips, and the mostly new city council was sworn in last night. In brief remarks, Phillips predicted great days ahead.
This city will see growth never seen before.
The council's only two incumbents, Jamie Dykes, was elected council president. Woodrow Washington selected pro tem. United Way of West Alabama making...
on his phone and... that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice warm-up today with a sunny sky, the high 72. For tonight, fair with the low at 44. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. A good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content. On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us.
All right, 10:25. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. As I said, we got plenty of time for phone calls from here on out, and we've got them lined up. So if we don't get to you in this segment, we'll get to you in the next segment. So don't go anywhere. Went a little bit over in my interview, so I've got to get back on time, but we'll take phone calls as long as we need to. All right, we're going to start it off with Ragged Glory, and then it'll be Tom. I'll probably take you two guys in this segment, and then Corey and Trustful, you hold tight, man, because I know you got a lot to say. We'll get to you in the next segment. Hey, Ragged Glory, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Hey, thanks a lot, Chase, for piping me through. Hey, listen, here's gits and shiggles for you. And anybody that's lined up behind me or anybody that wants to call in, in light of this NFL record, 68-yard field goal by the little guy, whose name's Little, from Jacksonville, mm-hmm. of all people, Booth a 68-yard field goal. Now, rewind back in time a little bit with Deflategate. Good old Tom Brady, you know, being able to get grip on a football under pressure. Now, having said that, I heard somewhere along the way that there is a difference between a game ball and a kicker's ball. Is that true?
From what I understand, yes, they're allowing the kickers to prepare their own balls. Again, I probably have to double check on that, but that is my understanding, that the ball that they're taking snaps with and the ball that they're kicking with are different balls, and I think that's why you're seeing these field goals. I mean, we're going to have a 70-yarder. I mean, we nearly did, like you said.
Look at Aubrey. He could have done that, but he missed it wide left if you're a kicker. And it had distance, too. And that was the Cowboys.
Yeah, Aubrey's, I think, I'm, you know, he missed a 68-yarder last night, and I'm surprised he missed it.
Yeah, I did, too. But, I mean, it had the leg and distance. It could have been a 70, 72. Who knows? But, so, I'm not crazy. I did hear it that the kickers do have a special.
They do,
ball.
They do, and okay. Now I've looked it up to be because I want to be. They use what are known as K balls, a special type of ball used for kickoffs, punts, extra points, and field goals to ensure consistency, so that the ball, you know, if the ball is being used by the offense, it's being thrown, it's being used, it in a, you know, it gets worn, you know. So these K balls are processed differently for more uniform and reliable surface for kickers. So there's no doubt, and it also it helps evidently to keep teams from hampering with game balls to gain an advantage. So all these K balls are designed specifically for kicking, and they are used so that all the kickers have the same ball. So yes, it probably is helping them kick longer field goals, but at the same time, there's consistency that they're all using the same kind of ball. So you don't have to worry about one team, like you said, trying to fix a ball to be kicked better than another team. So, but the,
can you imagine back in the day when if Clubfoot Tom Dempsey had that ball? From the Saints, remember?
I remember, yeah, absolutely.
The half foot mm-hmm. field goal kicker,
63-yarder.
Not even a soccer style. The dude
against the Detroit Lions.
Man.
Yep, remember it well. Mm-hmm.
Man, you know, I wonder what he could have done with something like that.
Yeah, maybe so.
Anyway,
but
that's just for gits and shiggles. And thank you for. Now I know I'm not crazy.
Yeah, you're not. Thank you, Raggy Gory. Great phone call.
Appreciate
yeah, these
y'all.
Yeah, 70-yarder's coming. There's no doubt about it. 70-yarder's on the way. Aubrey can do it. Several of these kickers can do it. Hey, good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Oh, Cowboy called in, and I thought had an interesting phone call concerning the AD at Auburn and his talking about, you know, other schools and this, that. I love your comment, by the way, in response to it was, you know what, if you're the chief, if you're doing the hiring, just go do what you're going to do and don't worry about what anybody's saying. I like that response. I think it's apt in this situation. But the thing about it is, I go back to this, and this is the second day in a row. I don't think Hugh Freeze wanted to be at Auburn. I think he had had a gut load of coaching in general, but really coaching at Auburn. John Tansy wrote an article on Monday to that fact. And in the article, here are some of the things, and it's not in this order, but he said that Hugh Freeze had rather been playing golf than he had coaching. And he had lost his desire to win. And my comment to that this morning on Barry and Coach's show was, you know, if you don't desire to win at this level in the SEC as a head coach, you're in really bad trouble. And I think what we've seen play out for 2 years is a result of that inner feeling that he had that I really don't want to be doing this. I really would rather be playing golf. Case in point, Tompkins pointed out that during the season on Friday before a game, he was out on the golf course, not playing, but right along watching his buddies play.
Yeah, well, listen, I hadn't read Talty's article, Tom, but I had said the same thing earlier this week that I think that he was ready to go. I think that they probably had been talking about this, trying to work out the details for a couple of weeks. You know, they did win at Arkansas. Who knows if they'd have beaten Kentucky? He probably would have gotten through the season, but they didn't. They had a miserable offensive performance. And yeah, I think he lost his competitive fire for whatever reason. I don't know what it is.
You know, to me, I'm sure it's happened before, but that is so interesting that in the days where finances and everything are so big and the rewards are so great that somebody loses it like that. And I'm not knocking them for it. Hell, I might do it too. I've been looking at that buyout and go, you know what, I want to play golf myself.
Well, I think that's reasonable. I think now with as much money as they make and, you know, things don't go well and you lose that fire, yeah, I think, you know, it's easy just to say, hey, I'm going to...
Gary, let me get your take on this. We established that as a possibility of losing the fire, but let's go to the opposite side. Let's look at Lane Kiffin. And money don't mean everything. I am where I am, as Marty McGee said, he has found the best version of himself, and that he's happy, his family's happy, he's living in a community that he really likes, and that is fueling his desire. That's my take on it. What do you make of that comment?
You know, I never can predict what coaches will do. I just can't. I mean, I think Lane Kiffin's in a great situation. I mean, they really almost worship him over there. If he goes to LSU or Florida, that won't be the case. But you never know. I mean, you know, Nick Saban loved being at LSU, and he left for the Miami Dolphins because of money and ego, and he regretted it. And it worked out because he got back in college at Alabama and went on the greatest run that we've ever seen in college football history. But you don't know with these guys. I mean, Kiffin can say all that stuff, and then when somebody comes to him from one of those schools and appeals to his ego, you don't know. I have no idea what he will do, but he'll have options, that's for sure. Tom? All right, we lost Tom, but that's okay. It worked out because we need to get to the break anyway. All right, hold tight. We're going to come back with Corey and Trustful and Jeff in Tennessee. We'll get these phone calls in if you want to join the program. And I'm sorry we lost Tom there, but went cold on us. 205-342-9904 is the number. And we'll be back with more of the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. We look for love, no
time for tears. For your free timeshare exit kit, 800-838-8822. That's 800-838-8822. 800-838-8822.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back over to Gary Harris Show. A little programming note. Friday's at the Free, of course. Be at Industry Hours Pub. Friday, going to be giving away that shutout full color print by Greg Gamble, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Be a lot of fun. Come by a little early if you want to hang out with me. I also have some Texas Roadhouse gift cards to give away on Friday. Told you I was going to be at Decades on Thursday. We're going to push that back to Thursday, the Oklahoma game. Cliff over at Decades has a catering order that he's working on all Thursday morning, so we're going to move that remote for Decades Pub and Grub to a week from Thursday prior to the Oklahoma game. We'll have something special planned for that, so that'll be fun. All right, let's get back out on the phone lines, and Corey from Trustful has been patiently waiting, and then Jeff will get to you up in Tennessee. Hey, good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
I'm looking at Alabama's basketball's non-conference schedule. There's 12 games. We've already played one of them. And this is just me saying this. I think it's reasonable that Alabama can go 10-2, only losing to Purdue and St. John's. Do you think that's reasonable in your opinion?
I think what Drew said, if Alabama can go 10-2 against that 12-game slate, I think Nate Oates will be on his way to coach the National Coach of the Year. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but I mean, and Alabama's a good team, you know, talented team, talented roster. But, I mean, you're talking about right now the number 5, number 1, number 13, number 17, number 21 teams in the country on the schedule. Alabama's number 15. Arizona's going to shoot it up into the top 10 after beating Florida, the number 3 team, the defending national champion. So I'll just tell you this, if you could guarantee me 10-2, I'd take it right now. I promise you that. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'm guessing more in the 8-4, 9-3 range myself. But I would love to see 10-2.
Well, the reason why I was saying that is you have the number 1 team coming to your house. You have to go to St. John's, which is a difficult place to play, and then you get the rest of them at home. I mean, we know Coleman Coliseum's a tough place to play now. I understand it's not going to be rocking as much because we're still in football season, but a lot of students will be on campus. And some of these non-conference games, I mean, you got Clemson, which is not a traditional basketball power. I think you have Kent State. You do have to play Gonzaga, which is
Listen, Corey, I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm just saying that's going to be tough. You can break it down game by game right now. We'll have to see how it goes for these teams. I'm just telling you this. If they go 10-2 against that schedule, I think it'll be a remarkable accomplishment. So I would be thrilled if Alabama is 10-2 heading into the Kentucky game. I'll tell you that.
Were you surprised at Auburn, but then Cookman went into overtime?
Sure I was. Shocked. I mean, you're a 25-point favorite at home, and you fortunate to win the game? I mean, you know, they survived, and that's the main thing, but they got a lot of work to do. I mean, that would have been an embarrassing loss for Stephen Pearl in his debut as the Auburn head coach. So, yeah, I was very surprised by that.
But what were your takeaways from Alabama last night?
Well, first of all, that they had four guys out, three of which that we expected to play. So we really haven't seen this roster the way that it's going to look when they have everybody healthy. And I hope they can get everybody healthy. As I said earlier in the show, it seems to me like Alabama never has a 100% complete healthy roster. I mean, it's just, you know, it seems like somebody's always out. But, you know, when they get everybody back and integrated into this rotation, they got a chance to be really good. They got a chance to have a really good team. But I do think there are going to be some bumps in the road. I think they're going to lose some of these games. And, you know, I could be wrong. I mean, they might roll through them all. Who knows? Maybe they go 12-0. But I think that this is a work in progress. I think Nate Oates knows that. It's a new roster for the most part. And he wants to build it as he goes and make sure that you're playing your best basketball when you get into March.
I just saw this pop up. Deontay Lawson's been named a semifinalist for the Butkus Award. That's a real big honor for him.
Yeah, it is. He's had a good year, and he's a good player and a good captain and fifth-year guy and a leader of that defense. Hey, Corey, good to hear from you, man. I'm going to try to get some other calls in, okay?
Good talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Thank you, my friend. All right, let's get to Jeff up in Tennessee. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
Going well.
I just want to say that's the second coach at Mr. Stoops has gotten fired in his career. That was LSU in 2020. That was your own. So, as far as he freaking goes, that he leads the league and coaches getting fired in his career, too. We're really three. You get Mullen, I guess, four. That I think it was a year later. So, we'll take two anyway. But as far as the bad basketball stuff goes, I watched them about Georgia Tech had to go overtime, too, last night. One before. I forget who they play, but they had to play overtime too, like Auburn did.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't, but yeah.
Who they played right now, but it was a low scoring game in the 50, and they had to go overtime to win.
Yeah. So, bottom line is finding a way to pull it out. I agree with you there. If you win.
And also, did you see where Hawaii Pacific beat Boise State? D2 beat D1.
No, I did not. What was
Hawaii Pacific beat Boise State?
Okay.
At Boise last night.
Yeah. And
also Drew, how about Miss Kara Lawson, 0-1, Baylor 58, Duke 52. That like you mean, but you know, I'll just say this, I know we don't like too much Kentucky, but that's one win, and if they can beat Florida Saturday night, which Florida ain't that good. I think they can get Florida. They might possibly make the postseason. I don't know if they will or not. But
yeah, it could. And I'll say this: I think that they. I don't think Kentucky wants to fire Mark Stoops because
he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. But I'll just say this: like the announcer said the other night, I watched most of the game, and like he said, Stoops coaches. He's maybe at his best or when his back's against the wall. When everybody thinks he's going to be gone or finished or done, that's when he did his best. And then one final thing, because Tennessee beat Oklahoma the other night, I was listening to some of the shows up here, post-game show, a guy kind of, they ripped off one dead side and down the other one. This guy said he's a good coordinator. He can't be a head coach. And one guy said, this is comment. He said, I'd rather put me a lawn chair on the side of the interstate and watch traffic go by. Then watch the balls under Josh Heupel. They ripped him a new one. He said he can't coach. If you want just wins, you have him. If you want championships, Josh Heupel's not your man. The ball ripped him to death when he lost to Oklahoma. But when you have 99 yards in the first half and you're up 6 points, something's wrong with you. He should have went to the quarterback, but now he's all right, almost turnovers. But I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you. Perfect timing, too, by Jeff there to get out on time here so we can hit this final break. All right, we'll take more phone calls in the final segment if you want to give us a ring, 205-342-9904. If not, I'm going to get to Kalen DeBoer. He had a very short press conference yesterday, Chase. I think it was under 8 minutes. So if we have time for that, but if we get calls, we'll take them. In the meantime, let me mention to you the YMCA of Tuscaloosa, though that's where I work out and have for over 20 years. I'd love for you to join me. It's tough for football season for me to get in there sometimes. I'm so freaking busy, but when I can get in, I do, and I love it. I love the Y. I think you will as well. YMCA Tuscaloosa, 2300 13th Street downtown. Jeff Knox, the CEO, runs a first-class operation. Great community of members, great personal training, fitness instructors. It's all right there at the Y. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. Find out more at YMCATuscaloosa.org.
Chiropractic, the only third-generation chiropractor with over 27 years' experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
Patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside.
Tuscaloosa Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Fried Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very nice warm-up today with a sunny sky, the high 72. For tonight, fair with a low at 44. Tomorrow and Thursday, the weather stays dry. A good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 73 and 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let it fly!
On Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Welcome back to the Gary Harris Show. Programming note for tomorrow, I've got a follow-up with the dentist. So, again, this Wednesday, I'm going to have to move, leave a little early. So, Larry the Music Man will be moved up from 10:30 to 10 again tomorrow. Of course, we'll have Matt Coulter on NASCAR at 9:30 to recap the season and talk about Kyle Larson winning the championship. Then Thursday in studio, our remote at Decades will be a week from Thursday before the Oklahoma game, Friday at the Innisfree Irish Pub. All right, Chase, let's get to we got time for Kalen DeBoer because it was real short yesterday. Shortest press conference I can remember Alabama head coach ever having. Here's Kalen DeBoer on Monday.
Coming off the bye week, I think it was very productive. Guys got chance to get their bodies freshened up and mind as well. Yesterday was a great practice for us, full of energy and getting a chance to dial in the end of the week and going into yesterday on LSU and always focusing on continuing to improve. I think that our guys still really believe that that's the case. That needs to be the mindset we always have in our program. But heading into this game against LSU, we expect nothing but their best. A high level of energy. It's going to be a great environment. I'll just add that we need our fans to continue to be what they've been and show up and, continue to make Bryant-Denny Stadium the hardest place to play in the country.
Thanks, Coach. Let's start with Charlie here in the far right.
Yeah, Coach, do you have any kind of comment or statement on Drake Kirkpatrick Jr.?
Yeah, totally. Just, you know, unfortunately with this information that I have at this time, talk to Dre, and we need to indefinitely suspend him, and he understands there's consequences that come with his actions.
Chase, on the side. If you could update on a couple of injuries or guys kind of coming back, Vandermark would be one, Danny Lewis Jr., and then also Quay Rousseau, who's been out longer.
Yep. Vandermark is making good progress. Been practicing this last week, so expect him to be ready to go. Quay has made, I think I mentioned last week, he's made good progress, and that continues to be the case. Probably don't expect him to be ready to go this weekend. He's doing a lot more than he has, and it's very promising with the direction he's been going. And then Danny Lewis, we'll see how things go through this week, but the bye week was certainly good. He wasn't able to play the previous week, so I'm hopeful that he'll be ready to go, but we expect him to be on the football field practicing with us more this week than he has the previous two.
Nick on the far right.
Yeah, you've had a lot of successful post-bye games. How similar did the prep that you saw last week and just coming into this week to those successful times?
Yeah, I think it just really goes into having a great staff that puts a great game plan together, gets it dialed in a timely manner, when you have players that go make plays and they can get those extra practices in on a great game plan and go execute, that's really what matters. It's really what it comes down to. And so, I expect the same thing with our staff. They've done a great job, really focused, and have the routine down, the timeline of when we want to install certain things, having practices that are fresh and, guys excited to be out there on the football field, continue to get better. So, yesterday, like I said, was a great practice. It wasn't long, but it was just, a dialed-in Sunday practice, and, looking forward to getting on the field tomorrow, Tuesday, and I think our guys are really excited about it as well.
Go to Colin on the front left.
Hey, Kalen. Not only this week, but kind of looking ahead to, it doesn't seem like you guys have to leave the state of Alabama, through your final four games, and I'm curious about what, I don't know, is that a point in your guys' favor? What are the kind of the pros and cons of not having to travel far for an SEC game?
Yeah, I guess I hadn't even thought of it in terms of not even having to leave the state, but I thought of it in terms of having a number of home games, and that's been great for us. It doesn't guarantee anything. I think it still comes down again to the preparation, but we definitely feel there's a home field advantage playing here at Bryant-Denny, as I said. So we're looking forward to having these teams come to our place, and our goal, and as always, is to protect our house. And so the guys really, take a lot of pride in that, and, want to continue to do that and uphold the streak that we have.
All right, let's go on the far left. We'll finish up with Hunter. You're good? Any other questions? Okay, let's go ahead. Coming on your left side.
Short and sweet. What sticks out to you about playing LSU?
Well, this is going to be a physical game. It was last year. I think it always has been. That's the tradition here. You can see what their team is made up of. It's physical players. I think they got elite skill, both offensively and defensively, whether it's coverage or being able to win on the perimeter and the running backs as well. So, this rivalry goes way back. You do the introduction with our team and talk about I think it was 1895, if I remember right, doing the research. And that's a lot of games that have happened between these two schools. And so we're looking at this as one of those rivalry games that I was told much about when I first got here. So it's going to be, again, a great environment, a lot of pride, both for our program and theirs as well.
Yeah, sorry about that. Just what have you seen from Ryan Williams' growth over the last few weeks, both on and off the field?
Yeah, as I've always said, whenever adversity comes, it's your response. And I think any type of adversity he's ever had, his response is always to go attack. And whether it's coming off of an injury or whether it's coming off of, just him wanting to play better than he did the week before, it's always 100%. He's, from a character trait, just humility that he has. He's all about the team 100%. When he really focuses on that and trying to be the best he can, which is really the case all the time, man, it's just so much fun being on the football field with him every day in practice. And, you know, he runs his routes full speed. He's doing the extra work before practice, after practice. No one on our team is ever going to question the work that he puts in and how important it is to him. But, you know, he's continued to attack, just getting better, you know, and I think that's shown up. You know, we're all human, so he's not going to be perfect. But he's really continued to hone in on the things that matter, and I think you're continuing to see him trend up.
All right, thank you.
All right, perfect timing, man. I told you it was short and sweet. That's I guess people didn't ask enough questions. Perfect timing for us to get out of the show. I want to mention to you that if you're looking for a great place for breakfast, lunch, and brunch, Brick and Spoon, downtown at Timberson Square. They've been open since 7 this morning, but they're open until 2. So get by and enjoy a late breakfast or an early lunch. They've got a special lunch menu from 11 until 1 Monday through Thursday. So a lot of menu options under $10. Can't beat it. I love the place. I'm there a lot. You will too. And something I really like, Chase, about Brick and Spoon, because it's a breakfast place, I like fruit. You can get a lot of fruit, man. They got mixed fruit. They got strawberries. They got bananas. They got blueberries. And so I like to get that fiber when I'm having. In fact, I may go to Brick and Spoon today. I've talked myself into it, in fact. Brick and Spoon, downtown at Timberson Square. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the show. The Miller's Edge is coming up next. And great sports talk all day long right here on Tide 100.9 FM at 1230 AM. WTBC, your home for Alabama sports. For Chase Brunfeld, I'm Gary Harris. Catch me on TV tonight with local sports and with Rodney Orr at 6:30 for Tider Insider TV on WVUA 23. Have a great day, everybody.